We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Bum, ba, da, bum, bum, bum. This is Oscar night. No, this is Abe.
And we're a couple days from Oscar night, because right. This is, of course, our Oscar prediction special. Out Now is a film podcast where Amadon normally discuss new movies weekly. However, it's almost Hollywood's biggest night once again. And so here we are, putting together another Oscar prediction special. Yeah, that's the plan. We're going to go over all the nominations, go over what we think are going to win. And joining Abe and I to do that, we have from Le Noir Artur, an Oscar winner in the making, Terrence Johnson.
That was really sweet.
Yeah, we believe in you.
That's really sweet. Yeah.
Have you seen your own costume designs lately?
I just bought fabric to do something else, too, that I have to finish in a week. So we shall see the quality of that. But yeah.
By the way, you posted your Jafar photo, a repost of it recently. Uh-huh. I was like, you know, I think Terrence's is better.
Thank you. I think Michael Wilkerson was the guy who did the costumes on the live action Aladdin.
Well, I don't know that guy's name, but I know Terrence Johnson.
Thanks. Yeah, that was pretty. It was funny because when I went to detract us totally from what we're going to talk about, when I went to D23 and they had the costume exhibit, I was like, oh, this will be fun. I'll be dressed up. And then I like turned the corner and saw that they had Jafar up there. And I had no idea it was going to be in the thing. So it was like I was like, that was a really cool moment to be dressed up as the guy and get to take it with the actual movie costume.
There you go.
Okay.
Aaron is just awestruck.
Aaron was like, I gave you that nice intro and then you just took us on the tangent. Please be quiet.
I'm fine.
It's called costume production design, baby. We're still in the game.
Well, I'm glad we got this out of the way because we have real business we have to deal with here.
Right.
Yeah. Who's going to win all of these fancy golden statues on Sunday? That's this show. That is what this episode is. We're going to go through all the nominations and just go over what we think is going to win.
Yep.
And we will reconvene, of course, post Oscars on Sunday night to go over who definitely lost and then who definitely won. That's exactly how we phrase it.
I don't know why you're looking right at me.
All right. So let's get into this. We're going to start from the smaller categories and work our way up towards the big award of the show. So with that, let's do this. Let's start with these shorts. First up, best documentary short subject. We have The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai and Wipo. Terrence, who do you predict is going to win?
The ABCs of Book Banning?
Right.
Sort of very hot cultural topic at the moment. Even though I think Last Repair Shop has a good chance to win as well.
Also features, kids giving some cool interviews.
Yeah.
Abe, how about you? What do you have?
Will win. ABC's The Big Banning should win. Nai Nai Wipo. Sean Wang.
I have the ABC's The Book Banning as well.
There you go.
These are the shorts. You know, these can be fairly up for grabs.
The shorts are where you win your Oscar pool
pretty
at
much.
Work.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. I think this is that big.
If you get 3 out of 3, you're probably going to win the Oscar pool.
Yeah.
I've seen all the shorts at this point, so I certainly have like thoughts on these. But with that said, like, there's not really much, like, the logic in documentaries is like what seems like the most important in my eyes. Like,
sure. Yeah.
And so, like, I look at these and I see Last Repair Shop and Book Banning, and I'm like, those seem like the ones that stand out as far as like trying to do something. But that doesn't really, I don't know, there's no logic here beyond like that's just what I'm going with. And so, I look at Book Banning, I was like, yeah, that one makes the most sense to me. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Keep it going. Short film live action. We have The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Terrence, what do you have here?
So this category could go many ways because, as we've seen lately, a lot of established actors pop up in live action shorts and that's how they get nominated for Oscars versus just like people that don't have, Marvel superheroes in them. So I think The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar will win. I Red, White, and Blue is the one about the Britney Snow
Yes.
star. I think that one could win.
Oh.
I was actually I was torn between the two, just subject matter wise. Like Henry Sugar, it's like Wes Anderson, big star. Lots of people probably have seen it. It was on Netflix, but like Red, White, and Blue is a little more important in terms of subject matter. So I think that could pull the upset, but I'm gonna go with Wonderful Story.
Hey, what do you got?
I got a Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Wes Anderson finally gets an Oscar, and it's for a short movie.
I'm inclined to agree. I because I do think Red, White, and Blue has like that's the if this doesn't win, that wins just because of the subject matter.
Sure.
But it's also like the Academy's opportunity to give Wes Anderson an Oscar. So it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
that I think that will play into it. Also, it's been available on Netflix for, over
Months.
half
Half
of
a
a year.
year.
So
Yeah.
it's very easily to
Accessible.
and So yeah, that's what I got there. All right. Animated. We have Letter to a
Oof.
Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. Terrence?
I just want to state that I love War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko, is the full title.
I really was worried you were gonna say you love that movie.
No,
I was gonna get really upset.
I love long and interesting titles. Like, not everything doesn't have to be Oppenheimer.
This is true.
Letter to a Pig is what I'm going with here.
All
But
right.
I almost feel War is Over might, because of the who the music is by, it's who the music is inspired by.
I'll say right now, I'm not a fan of that short. And while there's maybe one film on this list that I'm like pure heart wanting to win because I just really want it that badly. This is
Yeah.
the one I want to lose. This is the one I'd be the most annoyed about if it won an Oscar. I think
Yeah.
it's legit bad. Like, I'm not a huge fan of any of these animated shorts this year. I think the other categories are much better.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm like, I really don't like that one specifically. Yet it does have the music of John and Yoko, which just.
And like Sean, didn't he like produce or direct it?
Yes, he's it's his project
Right.
essentially, but it literally has the music of one of the greatest musicians of all time. So it's like this that's the recipe for success as far as winning an Oscar.
Oh, you're telling me that people shouldn't make war movies because they don't want to win Oscars?
No, I'm saying the ingredients they have is
Yeah,
all right
I know what you
there.
mean.
That
Yeah.
said, like I have no logic for this because it's animated and it's like there's not a pattern with these things beyond like if I went by the logic of like, well, Dear Kobe won, right? Then I'd probably choose the damn War is Over movie. But because I dislike it so much, I'm going with the one I found just the most fun. And this is a pretty sad batch of movies, so it's not a lot of room
Yeah.
there. But even then, I still went 95 senses. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
Hey, what do you got?
Will win. War is Over, inspired by music of John and Yoko. Should win. I thought about Letter to a Pig as well. Like what Aaron was saying, all these are somewhat not depressing, but darker subject matter, war.
They're
A lot
dour.
of difficult. Yeah, very very dour. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Letter to a Pig won. But yeah, war is over.
Okay. It's funny. We're gonna keep going through these. These are like the harder categories because now we have best
It's
visual
fun.
effects.
It's interesting.
Oh, it is fun. It's just where we're leading off with the stuff that's less obvious. Or like it gets a little easier down the line. But best visual effects is next year. We have The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission: Impossible - Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. Terrence, where are you going with this one?
I predict that you will have a very happy Oscar night, Aaron, and that Godzilla Minus One will take visual effects.
Okay.
I think it should be Creator, barely, but I think Godzilla Minus One will take it.
Abe?
Will win. Godzilla Minus One should win. Probably Godzilla Minus One as well, but I wouldn't be mad if the Creator won. The Creator did look great for how much they spent on it. But same thing with Godzilla Minus One. I mean, both of them lowish budgeter film. But they look amazing. But Godzilla Minus One, I would be so happy if this one here, because it's not going to win in Best International Film.
Because it's not nominated, so
yeah.
Well,
it's definitely
should
not
have
going to
been.
win. You're right.
Should have been. We'll get there later.
Obviously, yes. I want Godzilla Minus One to win. It is the one that I'm pulling for based on just my own preference, as opposed to the other categories where I very much heavily thought about them. I thought about this one too, but the creator has won a lot of significant awards leading up to this point. So
Yeah.
I'm going on the sheer enthusiasm that a long-running franchise that's never been awarded an Oscar, but you know, and is also, you know, a widely praised film that made a good amount of money where the creator basically flopped. I'm hoping that tilts the scales. So
I think
okay.
potentially the fact that the director of Godzilla Minus One was also the head of the VFX
Uh-huh.
department and would get an Oscar
Oh.
could, I wonder if that will factor into its winning.
I think it helps.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, it's the, it's like, much like the Wes Anderson thing. It's just like, it's a chance to award this thing that otherwise we don't really get a chance to. I think that the narrative involved there is pretty strong. But
yeah, it's actually a really nice nod. Knock a lot of things out.
Okay. Well, let's move up now to Best Sound. And here we have The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, and Oppenheimer. Oh, and The Zone of Interest. Sorry, geez. And The Zone of Interest.
I was like, you only named four of them.
I was like, yeah, I was like, this sounds wrong. And then I saw the other one. Abe, let's go to you this time. What do you have for Best Sound?
Will win. I think Oppenheimer should win. Oppenheimer or Zone of Interest. I wouldn't be mad if Zone of Interest won. It plays such a critical role in that movie. But I think I'm going more for Oppenheimer just because of I'm trying to get Oppenheimer as many Oscars as possible.
Barons?
Will win Oppenheimer. This year is one of the years I hate this combined sound category. I just have to say it.
I agree.
And it felt like right when America was finally learning the distinction between sound mixing and sound editing, they were like, America is stupid, let's combine them.
Yeah.
Should win? Probably Maestro.
Okay.
I think that that very much me leaning in the sound mixing of just how he brought in the music and how it plays within the narrative and how you can actually hear the lines of dialogue even as music is playing. Something the director of Oppenheimer struggled with.
If there is still a distinction between categories, then I put Maestro and sound mixing would make
mixing,
a lot of sense
yeah.
to me. I have Oppenheimer as the will win. I do think Zone of Interest is like a really good winner were it to actually pull it off. The sound is very key to that film as far as how it brings you into the atmosphere of what's really taking place. Like that's the one where it would have the most effect if you didn't have it, like, because it's such a key part of like the actual narrative of the movie beyond just like, you know, making the movie work because you know, bombs or car chases or, you know, orchestras or what have you. Zone of Interest, like that's fueling a lot of what's going on in that thing. Like you just otherwise wouldn't get why it's important to watch this movie. So that's an interest. That'd be an interesting win for me. I also just think it's kind of pie in the sky hopes that it would win. I feel like that's such a Oppenheimer's like, you know, it has a lot of goodwill for obvious reasons. Zone of Interest, I don't think it's like popular enough to like pull that kind of a win off, but we'll see. But
well, it's popular with the Academy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
it got the
picture.
It got the noms. I'm not denying that, but like, Oppenheimer, I feel like is gonna clean up a lot in Texas.
Yeah, it's tough to know.
Kevin O'Connell's on there too. He's a longtime Oscar winner when it comes to sound awards.
Yeah, it's tough to know when the Academy wants to make a cool choice. You just never know when Ex Machina will pop up as a winner.
That's a great.
So,
well, I put my cool weight into Godzilla, so that's where I'm at right there. So.
Yeah,
I have so much room for cool picks.
Yeah.
All right, next category we have is Best Makeup and Hairstyling. Nominated here is Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. Abe, what you got for makeup and hairstyling?
This one was kind of hard. I chose Maestro because of our Japanese friend.
Kind
but
of
I
a
think
hero.
Poor should win. I love all the makeup and hair design in Poor Things, but I'm going with Maestro.
Parents?
I'm going with Maestro, with Society of the Snow being the spoiler.
Okay.
I almost went with Society of the Snow. Just, you know, making people look haggard and frostbitten, and there's a lot of makeup in that. That's like very emotionally effective.
Yeah.
But I think Maestro is going to take it.
I have Maestro. I think Poor Things would be the spoiler just because of how much makeup there is involved there. But like Maestro, you have the best actor nominee as the subject of the makeup, among other reasons. But I mean, that's, I feel like that's pretty key these days, like why those films win awards. That's
yeah.
Like Oppenheimer's right there, but it's not like Cillian Murphy has a, you know, it's not becoming like old man for like half the
if
movie.
If it was for like best haircut, yes, but
yeah, obviously best haircut.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, if Oppenheimer like truly is like the sweep of the night, it could come right in there. I don't know.
That's interesting for hair and makeup though. Yeah, but I hear
I
you.
Mean, they're all you know, 50s,
yeah.
60s, 70s hairstyles or whatever, 50s hairstyles.
Yeah, a lot of pomade.
A lot of pomade. But yeah, I do think, and yeah, Kazuhiro as on Maestro, much like he was on Darkest Hour and
right,
what, the Grinch, among other
yeah.
many other things.
Oh gosh,
it's a good bet, I would say.
Yeah, I think the whole entire, you know, nose controversy thing probably helped, as you're talking to, kind of brings it into light for a lot of people as well.
If Willem Dafoe was nominated
for supporting
instead of Mark Ruffalo, that might help. That would might have like made it more difficult for me to choose.
Yeah.
But he's not, so I can't think of that.
But again, it's a great one. I wouldn't be upset if Poor Things took it. But I hear what you're saying too, Terrence, because those guys don't look like they're having a lot of fun as the movie progresses.
All right. Next up, we have Best Costume Design. Yeah, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Terrence, what do you have here?
I'm scared for this category. Barbie should win this, and I'm terrified it won't.
Yeah.
I think I would not be shocked if Poor Things at Oppenheimer won this award.
Is your pick Barbie?
It's Barbie.
Okay. That's a great pick.
It should win because we all have eyes. But
this is true.
You never know.
Abe?
I have will win Poor Things. However, Terrence, I have should win Barbie, because I agree with you that a lot of stuff is going on with costume design in Barbie. It's going on. This is actually a very hard category as well. But I think Poor Things takes this one. But I would love for Barbie to win.
I mean, I think it's right down the middle between the two of Barbie and Poor Things. Like, no offense to Killers, Napoleon, or Oppenheimer. I mean, Terrence, I hear what you're saying. It's not like Poor Things isn't like throwing in a whole bunch of different wacky costumes also. Like, it's not just standard period stuff.
I appreciate the wackiness.
Right.
And that's, if I had to lean on something, I mean, they tend to go period film, which Poor Things is, but it's also fantastical. And Barbie's
so you're saying the Barbie costumes are trash.
Yeah, that's clear. That's clearly what I said. Those words led to that.
He actually has that on the box quote, actually. These costumes are garbage. Aaron Neuwirth.
I'm saying, if you want to lean towards period or fantastical, Poor Things has both of those things on its side.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm leaning on it. It's this was the other, like, one of the hardest ones for me to like choose from, because I'm not getting too much into like the precursor awards leading up to all this, but they're basically tied. Like, they both won a lot of stuff. So it's like, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What was your pick?
Poor Things.
Okay.
Same nominees in this next category: production design, Barbie, Killers, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Terrence, what do you got here?
I have Barbie, not just for the fantastical, but I wonder if like the old school techniques that were brought into play will help it, even though it seems very like out there choice, you know, like the painted sets and the practicalness of it. But I actually think Napoleon could upset here. Napoleon or Oppenheimer, really.
They also had to build the city in Oppenheimer too.
Yeah, because they built the town. But yeah, I'm hoping for Barbie. So yeah, here we go.
I'm at Poor Thing just because I mean I think they'll match with costume and that. I'd be surprised if Napoleon Dynamite there's because it's not a Best Picture nominee. Like I can see it, but at the same time, it's there's other period films that also fit that in terms of like just designing sets and what like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, they all won awards. So I don't think Napoleon's won anything like leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just thinking like just the bombast of it.
Sure.
Like all of these are pretty epic.
Sure, but like Barbie and Poor Things certainly like stick out the most as far as like most.
Sure.
Like, I look at that for sure. So I have Poor Things, but Abe, what do you have?
I'm also going with Poor Things. However, in terms of will win, should win, I wouldn't be mad if Poor Things, I'm sorry, Barbie took this either. I hear what you guys are all saying. I'm on the same page. There's actually a lot of production design in a lot of these. Napoleon, sure, you could argue maybe like not the strongest because of what Aaron mentioned about maybe not being nominated for really anything else. But everything here, you know, we talk about period pieces. We talk about all this other stuff. Like I mean, I think about Killers of the Flower Moon, you know, when that house blows up, that's a production design thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
None of these, this is a tough category. I would not be mad if Barbie won. I would love for Barbie to win, but I'm going Poor Things for the fantasticalness that Aaron mentioned a category ago.
All right. Next up, best cinematography. We have El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Hey, what do you have for this one?
Will win, should win, Oppenheimer.
Terrence?
This is a great lineup.
It is.
Will win, Oppenheimer, should win, Maestro.
Okay. I like that you were supporting Maestro.
The fact that I can, you see how you can acknowledge good elements of a bad movie?
Yes.
Okay.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Some people out there in the world don't think you can do that. But yeah, there are just some shots in Maestro that just like knocked my socks off. So,
okay.
Maestro.
I certainly agree that I like all of these nominees. Like, that's no question. So it's like, yeah, it is a very strong category. I do think Oppenheimer has it. And I would prefer Oppenheimer to win, honestly, just because I like the idea that Hoyts von Hoytema keeps being tossed new IMAX projects from Nolan. And he's like, all right, boss, let's do this. And like comes up with new ways to explore that route.
He had to create different film stock, and he shot 70 millimeter and then also 35, all for similar size. It's incredible what he did.
So yeah, I'm all for seeing Oppenheimer claim a victory here.
Okay.
What's next here? Okay, film editing. We have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things, all Best Picture nominees. Terrence, what do you have for film editing?
Will win. Oppenheimer should win. Anatomy of a Fall.
Interesting.
Abe.
Will win. Oppenheimer should win. Oppenheimer wouldn't be mad if Killers of the Flower Moon won it, because that's also a very long movie that is edited with a pacing that is pretty solid. But Oppenheimer, just the way that it cuts seamlessly in and out of black and white, you know, which is future and past, and then for its runtime, just keeping me on the edge of my seat. Oppenheimer.
I have Oppenheimer here for the win, which I think it's very much going to take. I would like to see Anatomy of a Fall win here. I do think the narrative is very reliant on how well editing plays a role in this film. Mm-hmm. Not that doesn't apply to the others, but I do specifically think Anatomy of a Fall, it's very key.
Well, I mean, if they had a category for, you know, best pop song used, yes, of course I would go for Anatomy of a Fall. Steel drum version.
All right. What we got next here? Let's see. Best original score: American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Abe, would you have a best original score?
Will win, should win, Oppenheimer. This is an incredible score by Ludwig.
Terrence?
Ludwig might as well just stand on the stage when they announce this category, because he's going to witness. Side note, Aaron, do you remember the score from American Fiction?
I do, because I actually like that score. It's very jazzy. It's a very easy listen. If you want to talk about scores that I don't remember that have any distinction to them, it's Indiana Jones. And Indiana Jones, which it's like, I like, there's nothing against John Williams, but it's like, did he really do something?
You know, I have a feeling that it probably sounds like the previous Indiana Jones movies.
Did it really, like, was the Academy really like, yeah, he really crushed it this time out.
How many times has he been nominated at this point?
A lot.
95? Okay.
That's how old he is.
Aaron, what was your pick?
Oppenheimer, easily. Okay. That's the will, that's the wood.
Yeah, beautiful score.
Terrence, what do you have?
Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Clean sweep.
Is that what you prefer?
Out of this group, yeah.
It's not a, like, I don't dislike these scores, but, like, I wouldn't say it's a very inspired list outside of, like, Oppenheimer, honestly. Like,
Killers is cool.
Killers, like, is a cool score.
The way he's integrating, like, you know, rock with, like, chanting, pretty cool. But
yeah.
Robbie Robertson, right?
So, and, you know, he's the late Robbie Robertson. It'd be a interesting win if there was a spoiler. I don't think there will be, but I do think that'd be a nice win.
Yeah, that Killers would probably be my number two out of this lineup.
Yeah.
And Poor Things is certainly unique. That
I don't remember it, but I'm sure if I listen back,
like, I see that dance scene all the time, so I remember it very clearly.
I'm just picturing Mark Ruffalo, like, coming on the dance floor like a fucking goon.
All right, next up we have Best Original Song. First, we have "The Fire Inside" from Flamin' Hot, "I'm Just Ken" from Barbie, "It Never Went Away" from American Symphony, "Wazaza," a song for my people from Killers of the Flower Moon, and "What Was I Made For" from Barbie. Abe, what do you have here?
Will win "What Was I Made For," Billie Eilish and Phineas for Barbie. Should win "I'm Just Ken," Mark Ronson, Andrew Wyatt, performed by Ryan Gosling.
I agree with you. I think of the two Barbie songs nominated, that's the more fun one, and I'm all for fun when it comes to original songs.
Mm-hmm. And plays a crucial part in the movie.
Yeah, but the reason I have "What Was I Made For" is because it's more crucial to the movie. It's about Barbie.
The overall theme.
It's incorporated into the theme, into the score of the film. It's very pivotal and very
moving. It has really taken on its own life out of the movie too. Yes.
Yeah.
I will third this. "What Was I Made For" will win. "I'm Just Ken" should win.
There you go.
So good job, 15-time loser Diane Warren.
I mean, get on a Best Picture winner. I don't know what to tell her.
It does seem weird. It's like, maybe if I keep assigning myself to movies that are not going to get any traction whatsoever, I'll win one. That seems like the definition of being insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing the same thing over and over again.
expecting different results. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Next category we have Best Documentary. We have Bobby Wine, "The People's President," "The Eternal Memory," "Four Daughters," "To Kill a Tiger," and 20 Days in Mariupol. Terrence, what do you have for Best Documentary?
20 Days? I think the most dramatic of the lineup will probably win.
Abe?
Will win, should win 20 Days in Mariupol. Very topical. This reminds me of when the White Helmets won a few years ago. It wasn't for a documentary. I think it was for a documentary short, but still topical, very fresh in people's minds, and pretty fucking crazy of what they're filming there.
Yeah, I have 20 Days in Mariupol as well. I think the fact that, you know, it's coming right after Navalny's literally been killed a year after, you know, that doc won.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps the relevance pretty alive of what's going on here. I haven't seen To Kill a Tiger or The Eternal Memory as of yet, so I'm out on knowing the full story of all of these. I have seen The Four Daughters, though, which I really like. And I think it may not be as timely, but I think it's a better documentary. But I think 20 Days of Mariupol is the one that they're going to be going for. But who knows? Documentary branch could also be really weird sometimes, so it could go in a number of directions. Bobby Wine is very good also. I wouldn't mind.
And usually, like, the winner has to come down quite a ways away from the stage.
Unless they're, you know, banned from King in America for whatever reason.
That's a good point, yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Best Animated Feature. We have The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Abe, what'd you have here?
I have Will Win, Spider-Man Across the Universe, should win. I would love The Boy and the Heron to win.
Terrence?
Will and should win Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet against my favorite movie of last year. So Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
It was Aaron's number one. I thought about you in this category when I was doing my picks. I was like, Aaron's not going to deviate.
I'm not.
It should have been nominated for Best Score, too, but, you know.
And Best Picture.
It could have been nominated for a lot of things, I would say.
Yeah.
There's a number of things that Spider-Man has won already, which puts him in a good position. That said, Boy and the Heron's also won its share as well. It's right. A Miyazaki film. It's his latest final feature. So
yes.
that doesn't necessarily hurt. Spider-Verse is like a part one. I don't know if that makes it in it. The first one already won an award. So I don't know if that's going to factor in at all. But yeah, if there's one or two of these that's going to win, it's one of those two. Mm-hmm. I just hope that we're past the Oscars automatically vote for Pixar because that's what they like to do. Because that's happened a number of times where it's like, I picked the Pixar movie.
Yeah. But I think they're not as at the top of their game as they used to be.
Yeah.
I don't see an Elemental.
Yeah. Aaron upset. And I were very lukewarm on Elemental.
I think we sent zombies to their front doors after they picked Brave over Paranorman. So I don't know if they're going to, they want spiders to be sent to them, you know, for not picking Spider-Verse.
Yeah. I don't think it has much of a shot here, especially because the amount of acclaim that both of the other two films have by comparison. But you know, you get those older Oscar voters, they're just like, yeah, you know, the Disney ones.
It makes sense. Yeah, hear you're saying.
All right. Next up we have Best International Feature Film. We have Io Capitano from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of the Snow from Spain, The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, and The Zone of Interest from the United Kingdom. Terrence, what do you have here?
Will win The Zone of Interest. Should win The Teacher's Lounge.
Wow. Okay.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
Will win Zone of Interest. It's picked up enormous amount of steam in the last few weeks. Should win for no real reason. I was just Perfect Days because Aaron and I saw that recently. Or I saw that recently. And I talked to Aaron about it recently, and I was like, you know, it's just a more mellow film.
Yeah, I have The Zone of Interest to win just because it's a Best Picture nominee and a Best Director nominee. It's not that's not going to change.
Yeah,
as far as that goes. For my Will Win, I mean, I think this is a really great lineup of movies. I like all of these movies a lot. I would pick Io Capitano because I really like that movie.
Molto bene.
All right, Best Original Screenplay. We have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. Abe, what do you have for Best Original Screenplay?
Will win Justin Triet for and Arthur Harari for Anatomy of a Fall. Should win. I would love, this movie's not going to win anything, but I would love for Celine Song to win for Past Lives, which was top three for movies last year. But Triet has just picked up an enormous amount of steam in the last few weeks as well.
Terrence?
Will and should win Anatomy of a Fall, but you just never know what the writing branch is going to do.
Really? Okay.
The writing branch and the music branch and documentary, and I guess international film too, those four, they'll just do whatever. They really will just do whatever. But I think Anatomy of a Fall will take it. I think Holdovers is the spoiler, though.
Easily.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's between those two for sure. I think Past Lives is like the internet's dream of happening, but that won't.
Yeah.
Anatomy of a Fall, I just think, has the edge here. Justin Triet's also a, you know, Best Director nominee. Doesn't hurt at all. The film has quite a bit of acclaim. I think the international branch is certainly very high on getting that film as much as they can. I expect it to win. I'd like it to win. Holdovers is great. That would be the spoiler in my eyes, but I think Anatomy has the edge.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Next up, we have Best Adapted Screenplay. We have American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Abe, what do you have here?
Will win Court Jefferson, American Fiction. Should win. I wouldn't be mad if Oppenheimer won because of its ability to adapt quite a dense book, pick out a few things, and make a movie that is not made for Best Picture.
Terrence?
Will win American Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Should win Barbie.
Okay.
Well, at least it's in the right category.
Yes. Where it should, exactly where it should be in adapted. Just, you know, how many years worth of history and costumes right. and characters did we use to build the foundation of the story? Adapted.
Yeah.
So yeah, Barbie.
I have American Fiction. I like to see it, although I've read that book from Oppenheimer. It's very long, and it's a feat to turn that into, you know, a near billion-dollar blockbuster sure. for audiences to enjoy many times over. So it's like, yeah, that's a cool win. And again, if Oppenheimer sweeps up on the night, I could see it happening pretty easily too. It's just like lumping it in there. It's going to be a big night for Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
American Fiction has won a few awards that put it in its favor.
Yeah.
Do you want Christopher Nolan winning his first Oscar in adapted and not getting like the moment he wins for director?
I mean,
if it happens, it happens.
It doesn't make a difference to me, honestly.
Like, Bong Joon-ho made Oscars kiss each other.
He did make Oscars kiss each other. That's
true. He just had four of them in his hand. At that point, he had two. But
I look at this and I also like, what's the weirdest of these nominees? And it's like, well, they're all pretty weird, actually. So that's really, it doesn't really really compute yeah. using that logic whatsoever.
Sure.
And American Fiction is also like, it's a movie about writers and mm-hmm. specifically and writers dealing in Hollywood to some degree as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think that works in its favor because Hollywood loves doing that. But yeah, that's I go with American Fiction. All right. Now we're at the one of these big ones where it gets a lot easier, mm-hmm. I think. Best Supporting Actress. Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer. Daniel Brooks for The Color Purple. America Ferrera for Barbie. Jodie Foster for Naiad. And Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Terrence, what do you have here?
Divine is going to... She's been sweeping the season mm-hmm. in a way that I'm actually very shook about. Should win? I guess Divine.
All right. Abe?
Will win, should win, Divine Joy Randolph. Emotional center of that movie and quietly powerful throughout. I love Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple as well. She's my MVP when we talked about it. But, man, what... again, Divine, like what Terrence said, been winning everything.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. This is the lock of the night and deserved. I think it's a really great performance.
Is it the first award given?
No, it'll be either that or actor. I can't. Okay. It depends on what it was last year. Yeah. I don't remember what it was last year. So,
yeah,
whichever one, it'll be that first though.
Okay,
unless they decide to completely change the show, like they.
Well, yeah, Soderbergh came and was like, guys, what do we do? Yeah, Best Picture exactly. first.
Oh, I was like, I don't think Steven's directing this year.
What do we got Best Picture out of the way right now?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody will watch the rest, right?
All right, Best Supporting Actor, Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling, Barbie. RRR. Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. Terrence, what do you have for Best Supporting Actor?
Robert Downey Jr. is going to win. Ryan Gosling should win this Oscar.
Abe?
Congratulations to Robert Downey Jr. He's going to probably give a pretty good speech about Hollywood, his life in Hollywood and his father and how he's inspired, and you know, it's a deserving role. He's great in that role. I also have a should win of Ryan Gosling. If they had any sort of confidence in going outside of the box, it would be Ryan Gosling for Barbie.
Well, I think you guys are nuts because I have Ryan Gosling ranked last as far as who I give this to. I've seen him do this. Okay. Like, this just, like, I think he's hilarious in Barbie. I also think he's coasting on what he knows how to do very well already.
I was sorry for him being a good actor in that
role. He's good, but I've seen him do it before. It's not
the fact that you would say that when Sterling K. Brown is in this category doing the exact same stuff you just accused.
Yeah, he's right above
more
Gosling.
So than Gosling. Yeah,
he's right above Gosling.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
I wouldn't have nominated either of them. So there you go.
I mean, okay.
Or Ruffalo. And I like Ruffalo. I like Ruffalo the most of those three.
Yeah.
This is the Downey Show right here. And I think he deserves it. I think he's great in Oppenheimer. Yeah. I think De Niro is fantastic in Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, those are two great performances in my eyes.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Best Actress. We have Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. Abe, what do you have here?
Will win, should win, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. However, I did say during my review of Poor Things, I was like, oh, I'm so conflicted right now because Emma Stone is also terrific. And I know that it's kind of been split in the awards race leading up to the Oscars here. But I think the Academy is going to be like, we are going to do Lily Gladstone a huge favor solid here because Emma Stone's already won. Lily Gladstone.
Terrence?
So this is the one that I, in my work, Oscar Pool, I put like head over heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Emma Stone will win. I mean, I probably would give it to Sandra Hüller in this lineup. I won't be shocked if Lily Gladstone wins because she did just win SAG. But I, the Academy, back to back women of color in lead actress.
You're making me think, Terrence.
I want it to happen. I just am unsure. I'm just unsure, but I won't be mad if Lily took it.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good in Kill the Flower Moon.
I mean, it's the kind of thing, like, I can't like say this is a certainty, but it's the only thing Killers would win that night based on my logic here.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, so my question to you, because I've been tracking us, is like, I feel weird for saying Emma Stone when I have Barbie beating Poor Things in production and costume design, but you have Poor Things winning costume and production design.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't also think that like that love for that film might carry over to Emma?
The SAG branch is so huge and they chose Lily Gladstone. That's where my that's where it upsets
but
that logic for me.
SAG, and I agree for the most, because a lot of people are like, oh, well, Michelle Yeoh and whomever Michelle Yeoh was battling for awards last year sort of had the same split.
Mm-hmm.
But Michelle Yeoh was in the Best Picture winner. Like, she was never not going to win that thing. And the SAG, obviously SAG carries a lot of weight. So like I said, I'm not going to be shocked if Lily wins, but it's like the SAG Guild membership is different than the SAG Academy membership.
I get that.
So I'm just intrigued by how it'll shake out.
It's mm-hmm. right down the middle. And I hear you as far as the production costume design thing. It's very, I'm annoyed at that because I'm like, well, it could easily be Barbie, and I've doubled down on it, so it's like either way.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, like I said, I went Barbie twice, and then I'm like, oh, it Poor Things isn't gonna win anything else other than Best Actress.
Oh, wow.
But you know,
I just think Killers has that going for it as far as it's become the thing that's representative of the film.
I hope so, where
I think Poor Things has multiple things representing that movie.
Yeah.
And
I hope she does win it, and we get a nice side by side of her high school photo of most likely to win an Oscar and her holding one.
That would be, again, it just writes itself, Terrence.
But it's just two women of color in a row.
Yeah, but playing, I mean, that's playing
the Academy's changed, man.
Playing the politics game, it's like, well, they get to award the first Native American woman Best Actress. I mean, like, it's those kind of things that can happen that I think overwhelm. If anything,
and
like
this time they won't boo her off the stage like they did, you know, when Brando won.
The thing holding it back in my eyes is that Lily Gladstone's performance is seen by supporting as a lot of people. So it's mm-hmm. like people not voting for it simply because they don't think it's a lead performance. That's the thing that might be holding it back.
What if Sandra Hüller won this?
The international branch is all Sandra Hüller. So that, you know, if it's a split between
those
two,
exactly,
and then she comes out above, that'd be a wild surprise. That's
Marion Cotillard of this.
It'd be a wild surprise of the night. Yeah. That'd certainly be my preference. So,
could be splits all around here. Like again, it could be a split with Emma Stone and Sandra Hüller, and then Lil Gladstone takes off with it too.
I suppose, yes.
So what you're saying really is Annette Bening is winning this Oscar.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
and I loved her. I loved
Meryl
her in Nyad.
Yes, or not Meryl Streep.
I don't. I think she gets the third best performance in Nyad. So,
damn,
Behind the Boat.
Reese Fons is really good in Nyad.
Oh yeah, Reese, he's phenomenal. Okay.
Yeah,
the lizard.
come on, he's known for more things.
We
than
don't.
That.
We don't have the time.
But I mean, the Bening advantage is that Hilary Swank's not in this category, so she's like, well, I can sneak ahead here.
Well, you know, she's Hilary doing Swank TV
doll. Yeah, that she pokes every so often.
All right, best actor: Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, or Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Terrence, what do you have for best actor?
Will win Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, like I told Mark Johnson way back during the Critics' Choice Awards, when I was like, I don't understand how Oppenheimer will win all of these awards and the lead actor not come with it. Should win Jeffrey Wright.
Hey.
But he won't.
Will win, should win Cillian Murphy. I know Giamatti's been kind of picking up some steam too and going to In-N-Out and, you know, charming talk show. I can see the pathway for him to be like, he's been nominated. He's been in excellent movies. He's been nominated. Did he get nominated for Sideways?
No, he was famously snubbed for Sideways.
Snubbed for Sideways, but it's like the Oscars, because he's like, well, let's give it to Giamatti finally.
He got a Cinderella Man the next year. Okay.
Crow, yeah.
He didn't win, but he got nominated.
He didn't win. But but Cillian is incredible. Like, you just watch clips of him. I know that it's not super, you know, off the it's not very high energy.
It's not showy.
It's not showy, but when you see the mannerisms, you see the way he speaks, the way he blinks, it's an incredible performance. And so Cillian Murphy, this is the one that I just want to Cillian to win, even though I know Giamatti has been coming on like strong. And I hear what you're saying with Jeffrey Wright. He is very good in that movie, especially with like the emotional beats and just him being fun and goofy. But yeah, I would love for Cillian to win this.
I'm praying Jeffrey Wright's Oscar clip is the scene of him with the guy from the OC in the restaurant.
Brody.
Yeah.
at the end.
No, not at the, like the,
no,
from
when
the first meeting.
Oh, when they first meet.
Yeah.
You don't want him giving the speech and getting shot by the cops you invade?
No.
I have Cillian Murphy. I want Cillian Murphy. I think Jeffrey Wright's fantastic. I think I've said this many times. I think every actor in this category is very good, and mm-hmm. I would not mind seeing them win an Academy Award. I don't necessarily like Rustin all that much. I think Bradley Cooper has other things in store mm-hmm. down the line. So when it comes down to it, like, Giamatti is fantastic in The Holdovers. Jeffrey Wright is fantastic in American Fiction.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy has to hold his face in front of an IMAX camera for multiple minutes at a time and emote and not do a lot at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty phenomenal that everyone responded to mm-hmm. that in the way they have. Right. I think he's really great here. I'm happy that he, like, more than exceeded what was seemingly required of him and, like, got to this point where he's now, like, basically a front runner next to Giamatti to win this thing. So I want to see it happen. I want to see Cillian Murphy win an Oscar for Oppenheimer. All right. Two more. Best director. We have Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Terrence, what do you have for best director?
Congratulations, Christopher Nolan. You will be on the stage accepting an Oscar. Even though it should be going to Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall.
Abe?
Will win, should win Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer.
Was Oppenheimer your number one movie of the year?
It was, yeah.
Mm.
I have Nolan as well. I think this is a strong lineup of people that had to do a variety of different things as far as their directors are concerned. Yeah, I want Nolan to win. It'd be cool to see an Abby of Fall win. It'd be cool to see Glaze. Like, I'm not even that biggest on Zone of Interest, but it's like, I mean, that's a very directed movie.
He's my number five in this category, but yeah, again, I agree with you that it is very directed.
And like, Scorsese drops, you know, another one of his masterpieces, and it's like, yeah, it's there, like, it's great to see,
right?
But it's like, it's not pulling out in the way that it might have people thought it would in like October. But here we are, Oppenheimer, best director. Next up, the big one.
You mean last up?
Picture of the year: Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Anatomy of a Fall, American Fiction, Past Lives, The Holdovers, Poor Things, Zone of Interest, Maestro, Barbie. Terrence, what do you have for your should win and your want to win for Best Picture?
Should win Anatomy of a Fall.
Your will, sorry. Yeah, your should win, your will
but,
win.
But will win? Congratulations, Christopher Nolan. You'll be standing on stage holding your second or third Oscar when you win for Best Picture.
Abe?
Will win, should win Oppenheimer. Pretty strong lineup of movies here, for sure. It'd be kind of a weird thing to have him win for Best Adapted Screenplay and then Best Director and lose Best Picture.
That would be so funny.
I don't know what the spoiler would be. That's the thing. Like, I don't know what would like outdo Oppenheimer for Best Picture.
Honestly, like, I'm thinking Zone of Interest.
It would be Anatomy of a Fall.
I can see that too.
That'd be my bet, just because of, like, again, that international crowd. Like, yeah, that sway.
Yeah, but I think the international crowd, they love Christopher Nolan as well.
They do. But also Anatomy of a Fall does have a lot of esteem behind it.
Yeah, it won the Palme d'Or.
Yeah.
It was the best movie released in 2023.
But yeah, I have Oppenheimer, Robbie. I mean, it's won everything. So it's like, there's not much of an option because all the other ones I can see like some route as to why. Like this one, sure. I just can't. Like this and supporting actors. I'm like, I don't, what else would you do? Nolan's going to have at least one Oscar. Probably two. Maybe three. We'll see.
He's going to be in a lot of photos, that's for sure.
He's going to be in a lot. He's going to eat so many hamburgers. You think he even knows what In-N-Out is? Like, you think he's that disconnected?
Yes.
I think he knows. He's a goofy, fun guy.
He's a goofy, fun guy.
Yeah. Like, people thought, oh, this guy's serious on tour. It's like, he's a fun guy.
So, Jonathan, the American-sounding Nolan.
Yes.
Probably has taken Christopher, the British-sounding Nolan, for In-N-Out at some point.
They seem like Steak Shake brothers. Steak Shack brothers. Or Steak and Shake, either way.
Steak and Shake. Wow. That
was a callback.
Downey's like, let's go to White Castle. He's like, what's White Castle?
What's White Castle? Nobody goes there. Well, that's only the Midwest and the East Coast.
That's not a place for... regular people.
You don't see Nolan flipping over his scarf to be like, let me move that out of the way real quick so I get one of these sliders in my mouth.
He wouldn't have to. They're so small, he could just like fill it and put it in his mouth.
They'd be testing each other. How many can you put in? Let me see.
I could see that happening, actually.
Slam
the
table.
Onion flavor is very strong.
Go.
He's like in the back where they're getting the engraved mints on their Oscars.
Yeah. He's slamming burgers.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've gone over all these categories. The Oscars are Sunday night, March 10th. They're an hour early this year. They're like starting at 4 Pacific time instead of 5.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
They're an hour earlier this year.
Why?
Just really want to.
Is it daylight savings? Because daylight savings is on Sunday?
I mean,
maybe. I don't know. Honestly, I'm sure there's some article that probably explains it. Maybe it's a bid for different ratings or to see something to mix things up.
Really steal that 4-hour time block, yeah.
But with that said, the show's, you know, it's supposed to be 3 hours. We will see how far that goes over, but because we need to have a tiebreaker in the event of a tie, Let's bid some guesses here. What? How long do you think the Oscars is going to go?
God.
So, Taryn, let's start with you. How long do you think this Oscar ceremony is going to be?
3:20.
Okay, Taryn says 3:20. Abe?
3:43. 3 hours, 43 minutes.
3:43. It's a long show.
Yeah. I mean, they're starting an hour early. What are they going to do? Like, you know.
If anything, the idea is probably to get out of there earlier. It's like,
you would think, but they're just like, let's all just like waste everybody's day.
All right. I'm going to say 3:26.
Okay.
Okay. So we got those locked in.
Yep.
For these ceremonies. Okay. Cool. So what else, guys? Are you looking for, Terrence, are you looking forward to this ceremony? Are you looking forward to seeing this Oscars?
What a question.
I mean, it seems like your favorite movie, Anatomy of Fall, is not going to win a ton, though.
I mean, I'm used to my favorite movies not winning all of the Oscars. It's, you know, every so often, Parasite, you know, Moonlight, Spotlight, Ite in the name, will all line up.
Shape of Water.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm hoping for some fun upsets. I have no idea what they're planning for the show in terms of like the songs, and I know they're trying to bring back, they want to bring back the 5 past winners come.
Oh God.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Oh no, not that.
For the acting prices.
Oh, I hate those.
Okay.
I'm not a fan. I like it.
Not a fan.
But I want to see the clips. Like, I think the Academy,
you can't do anytime, both.
Anytime the Academy cuts out like the acting clips, I think it's a mistake, because it's like you're missing.
You're not advertising the movie you're supposed to be celebrating. Yeah. Instead, you have Joel Grey on stage for some reason. Like, who wants to see Joel Grey at the Oscars right now?
Listen, the reason why I like it is I think so. This Academy has done everything in its power to not talk about like the history of movies or like celebrate the fact that they're, you know, they moved all the Governor's Awards to its own separate ceremony.
Uh-huh.
And so I like the idea of being like, hey, remember these people who you loved and who won, but I want to see the acting clips too, because you do need to, you know.
Yeah, like, I like the idea. I also I prefer not stopping the show dead in its tracks.
that's why I think they should tweak it. I think they should bring all 5 of them out to do like a quick bit and then get to the nominees, right? And it's like all 5 of them are up there to like welcome you into the new club, not do like a 2-minute spiel about every nominee.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird bit where it's like, why are these 5 random people have nothing to do with each other standing on stage to do a bit right now? Like,
yeah,
that's like, that's why I might happen when it's like, look, it's the cast of White Men Can't Jump. And it's like, that's random for one thing, but cool. Yeah. Okay. Wesley Woody and Rosie Perez.
I mean, that's I would love Woody Harrelson to be there.
But that's a bit that makes sense to me. Like, yeah. There's something I can get.
Did you like it when they did the friends of, like, famous actor friends of the nominees? Like, when I forgot who Colin Farrell was talking.
He was talking to Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
It was hilarious to me because he
was SWAT.
SWAT, which I like, but it was like, he's talking to, he's like, let me praise Jeremy Renner right now.
But I thought that was so, yeah, I think it's, there's a way to do
that,
it.
That's an unexpected thing that I could appreciate. I agree.
Yeah, sure.
But it's still,
there's
like,
a way to do it.
There's still 4 more of these to get through.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I have Adrian Brody talking to Richard Jenkins and saying, you're one of us now. And it's like, dude, he's twice your age. I do not need to see you talking and welcoming Richard Jenkins to the
Oscar.
Probably
a better actor than you.
Well, you said it and not me. So
yeah, Terrence, we know you famously like his SNL performance for Adrian Brody. So it's fine.
Whose SNL performance?
Adrian Brody's.
Is it like famous for being bad?
It's famous for him dressing up in like reggae gear and announcing Sean Paul and then getting banned for life from SNL.
That's right.
Wow. I don't watch SNL, so I have no idea.
This is like, what, 2 decades ago at this point when this happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch SNL back then either.
I didn't see it then. I just know about it. I know
he's been heard of.
Yeah. He's banned for doing that, for putting on a reggae patois and announcing Sean Paul as the musical guest and then getting banned because Lauren was like, no, you cannot do that, sir.
Oh, so he, Brad Pitt can do it and be Joe Black, but
yeah, he did. Yeah, that's the thing. He did it on. He just did it because he felt like it. And yeah, Lorne,
he was acting in the moment.
Lorne is not good with that, so he said, "No, thank you, yeah. to you ever again."
Interesting, considering the other stuff Lorne is allowed to go on that show. But
are you talking about having Shane Gillis on when he fired him?
Yeah. There's plenty of things you could talk
a
about.
Lot, before we even get to that, there's lots of other stuff.
There's a book written about it, and I think they're doing a movie about it. So,
Abe, any expectations?
Your
of
question.
Show? Yeah,
I want montages. I want clips, and I'm not talking just for like best picture, best director. I'm talking shit like we had like a few years ago, maybe even a decade at this point, when they're like best original screenplay. Show me the screenplay and people acting the lines out, or the stage direction. You know what I mean? Best costume design. Show me the designs on paper. You know what I mean? Like, these are very hard things to do. Movies are hard to make. And not everybody understands how these below the line categories are also very important. And it's always fun to see the making of. Does it add minutes? Yes, but like what we were saying, take out some other shit that doesn't make any sense, you know? Like, I don't care about people coming on stage and be like, hey, let's do this weird bit that only one half of the party that's on the stage is into, and the other half is just like monologuing lines because they're just like, I'm not getting paid to do this, so why would I have to like do it with affectation? Just show me the clips, show me what we're here for, which is movies and why we like movies.
I agree. I think it's something that the Emmys did pretty well this last go around, where it's like they didn't just bring out the iconic cast, they brought the sets back from those shows as like a great way to like celebrate not just
the cast
of the show, who you're obviously familiar with, but with the production design of those shows is,
like
is very
somebody
much
an award behind like the Cheers bar, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
that actually sounds pretty neat, because I dislike the Emmys and find them boring, but that sounds like a show I would have liked to watch. So there you go.
The Emmys during the pandemic was it was like the best award show to when they had those boxes. But yeah. What about you, Aaron? What are you looking forward to?
Well, not the actor thing if they bring that back, that's for sure. That said, if they bring that back, that's going to put Abe pretty close to getting the time right for the show.
I know,
so.
Yeah. I thought about that, and I've already given the time, and I knew that piece of information.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with you, Abe. I like when the Oscars celebrates the year of movies.
Yes.
And the idea of seeing stuff. When I look at the ratings for Oscars, it's like, well, yeah, you didn't like show people why the movies happened. Like, what was there that was special about it? Like, I like seeing that, like them acknowledging the fact that we're here to celebrate a very specific crowd of films. Here's why you should be excited by that. Mm-hmm. I like seeing when that's in play. And, you know, various reasons or what have you, and tinkering and choices, it like gets out of their hands. And it's like, I don't know, this should be simple. Like, yeah. Instead of like, remember they announced like we're going to have a James Bond reunion, and they barely accomplished that. It was this like where they had what was that one year where they had like Tony Hawk and whatnot, like presenting something.
That was like a couple of years ago. Yeah.
For like.
I don't think they were presenting anything. They were just talking.
No, it was
about,
just
like,
they were there for like a weird like reunion that they're not really involved with to begin with. It was like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
yeah. I also would like to see some reunions. Like give me some more White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, I like those kind of games where it's like celebrating its 17th anniversary. It's 17. That's a weird number. Who cares?
Yeah.
Here they are.
I mean,
the stars.
I would prefer things that end on.
Five or zero, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, just more. Oh, like, yeah, I did enjoy. And it doesn't have to be, obviously, you know, like in a couple of years, get Leo and Kate to do something Titanic related, mm-hmm. right? But like, everything doesn't have to be, you know, can you get, I don't know when The Mask, but like, can you get Jim Carrey and Cameron Diaz to come?
Mm-hmm. That would be this year. Yeah, this would be the year to do it.
Cameron Diaz has been, you know, retired from acting for like a decade at least now, right?
But she's coming back this year. So there you go.
Whoa, there you go.
Give us stuff like that.
Yeah. Sorry, just to go on another rant real quick. Look.
Listen.
We don't need to make the Oscars cool. And I mean that from like a sincere standpoint. Mm-hmm. We don't need to have Jacob Elordi coming on stage where just to bring in like a younger crowd or other cases, this is a nerds award show for people who watch, you know, like a friend of the show, Alex Billington, who goes to like 16 film festivals and watches like 52 films per festival, you know, like this is for people that really like and appreciate movies. And you know how to bring people in? You don't talk down to them. That's how you bring people in. So just do what you're going to do. Do the thing that you're best at, which is showcasing movies, how they're made, people that are important to movies, whether they be historical people or current people or, again, below the line people or above the line people. You know, this is a really nice thing to have. And I don't really care about a cool factor. You know what I mean? I would rather it be the most boring, like, start to finish show than like something where they're trying to be like, now let's have this selfie with Ellen and Samsung. It's like, I don't care about this. You know, I'd rather see Jack Nicholson presenting a Best Actor award to somebody because he hasn't been in the spotlight for a while. Or you know what? Fucking Gene Hackman showing up for whatever reason. He's never going to do it, but that would be an amazing thing because the crowd would appreciate that at the Dolby Center. And
they do balance some of that kind of well. Yeah, when you have like Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli, like that's very natural, right. And it's, you know, yeah, something relevant.
But I'm talking more just like, we don't need a youth movement in the Oscars.
I'm not against the young people.
I hear what you're saying, and I can't say like exclude them entirely, but it's also
I hear you
because there's a matter of like Jacob Elordi wasn't like films
that's the first thing
said
that
like if you I know and I know you're just like riffing that way if you said like the cast of Anything But You, it's like, okay, what are we doing,
right?
But so
Glenn Powell from Best Picture nominee,
I actually wouldn't mind
Top Gun Maverick.
but essentially my rant is just, you know, this is, you can make it as plain Jane boring as possible. Is if you're appreciate the films, because I think that actually goes a longer way than like, oh, remember when they tried to spice it up by having the theater people from across the street come in and just see the movie stars, and then they left, and I'm like, and then Jimmy Kimmel just had like a joke about like, here are some M&Ms. Like, I don't know what this is supposed to prove.
That
like
was
it's not
great...
very fun. It's kind of a waste of time. Yeah,
I forgot all about that.
When Denzel married two people, and then like stories came out about who one of the guys was like the next day or something.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I think a longer note, I do not want to hear another joke about how people didn't watch and or see certain movies at the Oscars.
Oh, or they're too long when they also make $1 billion at the box office.
I don't want to know. Like we can make fun of movies. That's great. But like,
better jokes is what you're asking for. I hear you.
Yes. Just not joke that's like, oh, past lives, nobody saw that. Why is it nominated?
How dare you? Won Independent like, Film Award, Best Film of the Year, and Best Director.
Was the Academy tasked with finding the movies everybody fucking saw, or were they tasked
because
with
they also
the
did. They got the two biggest movies of last year on the ballot.
Right. Which is why I'm like, okay, this, if any year we're gonna not have to hear that stupid joke, it should be this one.
Like, this is one of the more popular years as far as the nominees concerned.
I don't want to hear nothing about how somebody didn't see The Holdovers.
Sure. Or how somebody had to stop Killers of the Flower Moon and then finish it the next day.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, rant over. Thank you for getting off my soapbox now.
I hear you. I mean, I'm all, you know, I prefer not a boring ceremony. I think the best of both worlds as far as, yeah, let's have it be fun. And also let's acknowledge the fact that the people that are watching the Oscars are watching the Oscars. Like, there's not a lot of room for new. Like, people watch things in so many other ways these days, especially a younger crowd, where sitting down on Sunday late afternoon at this point to watch an award show
right,
it's just not the thing they're going to do when they'll watch clips on YouTube, TikTok, or Twitter the next day.
And I'd also like to add that I am also not a huge awards guy. Like, you know, these things, it's Hollywood's biggest night, but it's also like one of those things where like, it's fine. Like, you know, this, like what Terrence said earlier in the show, sometimes the movies that should actually be winning are not going to win. You know, I think about Green Book winning Best Picture a few years ago. It's like, yeah, you know, there's better movies to nominate, but I think in general, you know, they have like this weird, I'm talking like studio execs and TV producers, they have like this weird fight. They're just like, we've got to get more audience viewership. And Aaron just named it. People aren't watching it traditionally anymore. And so why would you have to care about let's get eyes live It's like, I don't know what we're trying to fight here, guys. Like, I'd rather just have a show that has, again, love for the movies and just show me all the cool stuff that can be made in a movie and inspiring somebody to try and be a costume designer or production designer or a composer, you know what I mean? Or an actor, you know what I mean? Like, this is the fun stuff about this show. All right. Really rant over it.
All right. Well, I think we've spoken enough about what we expect for the 96th Academy Awards. We have our predictions locked into place here. We will be back on a Sunday after the show to talk all about what happened, what went down, and what went wrong and what went right. But with all that in mind, that's going to do it for this bonus episode. So you can find me at writing movie reviews over weliveentertainment.com. Blu-ray and Criterion Reviews at So Blue. I have thecodeofzeke.substack.com now, where you can find my written predictions for this Academy Award. And I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find more stuff. You can find more fun stuff over my Instagram, abe.mua, and twitter.com/walrusmoose. Hashtag they should have nominated, or Top Gun Maverick could have won Best Picture last year.
Terrence Johnson.
You can find me at lenoirauteur.net, lenoirauteur.net, and on Twitter at Terrence B. Johnson.
You can find all the other episodes of this podcast, everywhere you can find podcasts.
Everywhere.
We're on online. Socials, everything as well. Terrence, thanks for joining us for this prediction special.
No problem.
And we'll be back Sunday night to talk all about how this went down. So until then, so long.
And we'll see you at the Oscars.